In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This talk is always to be reflective on our Blessed Mother, and also connected with Our Lady at Fatima, when she appeared to the three children from May of 1917 to October. Our Lady said many things which apply to our spiritual life, many things which apply to our time now in the holy season of Lent. And as you probably know, next month we won't be having a day with Mary because it's Holy Saturday. And this Lenten season is a time of great grace. It's a time of tremendous grace for the church and the world to turn back to God. And Our Lady at Fatima reminds us how important it is to turn back to God. For she told the children, "Tell the people to sin no more, for our Lord is already so gravely offended." That our Lord is so offended by sin, by the indifference of humanity, by the hardening of hearts, by his rejection and his authority and his church. So this time of Lent is a time in which Our Lady once again reminds us to turn back to God, to make our hearts new, and to, above all, prepare ourselves for the most important mysteries of our faith, the Passion, the Death, and the victorious resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. I'm going to read some words right now that come from Pope Benedict XIV, and he wrote this in 1741. This was written by Pope Benedict XIV in 1741, May 30th, and these words are extremely profound. At that time, the Pope noticed that the observance of Lent was beginning to weaken in the Christian faithful, that Christians were becoming less disciplined in observing Lent, not strict in observing Lent, and that many were seeking dispensations in the observance of Lent. And the Pope said these profound words, 1741, "The observance of Lent is the very badge of the Christian warfare. By it, we prove ourselves not to be enemies of the cross of Christ. By it, we avert the scourges of divine justice. Divine justice is appeased by our Lenten sacrifices. By it, we gain strength against the princes of darkness, for it shields us with heavenly help. You may think that your little Lenten sacrifices are insignificant, but the Pope is saying that we gain strength against the forces of darkness by our Lenten sacrifices, and it shields us with help from heaven." And now the Pope says these words, "Should mankind grow remiss in their observance of Lent, it would be a detriment to God's glory, a disgrace to the Catholic religion, and a danger to Christian souls. Neither can it be doubted that such negligence would become the source of misery for the world, public calamity, and of private woe. All attached to the observance of Lent," the Pope is saying, the great danger is if we don't observe the Lenten season, is that such negligence is going to become a source of misery to the world, of public calamity, and of private woe. And we can pretty much see that in the world around us. But the author here, who was quoting Pope Benedict, wrote 100 years after he had said this in 1741 in a letter. So 100 years have passed, and the author is now saying, so it'd be 1841, and must not there result from this ever-growing spirit of immortification a general effeminacy of character, which will lead at last to frightful social disorders. The non-observance of Lent, this is said now in 1841, is going to lead to frightful social disorders. We can see that in society, the breakdown of the family, the non-respecting of the sacrament of marriage, the disorders with so many sexual sins of same-sex and so forth, and all the other evils, all tied to the observance of Lent, a general effeminacy of character which will lead at last to frightful social disorders. The sad predictions of Pope Benedict XIV are but truly verified. So this speaker is speaking in 1841. Pope Benedict was saying this in 1741. And now the speaker has this to say. Those nations among whose people the spirit and practice of penance are extinct are heaping against themselves the wrath of God and provoking his divine justice, his justice to destroy them by one of these scourges. He's saying the refusal of nations to do penance for their sins in the season of Lent is going to lead to one or two of these scourges, civil discord or conquest, that there will be such great discord in their society, or they will be conquested by an outside force, an outside nation. All tied to Lent and the lack of humanity returning to God in penance for their sins, in atonement for their sins, and making amends to God. And so we see that this is a very sacred time, Lent. And these speakers were speaking, the Pope was speaking in 1741, and then this other speaker, 1841. And we think things must have been bad then, but look at our times and how there's such social disorder. Such social disorder and calamity and division and godlessness. Our Lady always tries to bring us back to her Son. At Lourdes, she said, penance, penance, penance. At Fatima, she says, tell the people to sin no more, to atone for their sins. If they do not atone for their sins, God is going to send a worse punishment upon them. And that was when World War I was going on. And that worst punishment was World War II. Our Lady said, war is a punishment for sin. And then she told the children that the people's prayers would not be answered unless they are converted. And so we see how important Our Lady's words are for this holy season of Lent. It's a time for conversion, a time for turning back to God, a time for seeking sorrow for our sins by showing our sorrow by acts, voluntary acts of penance, of sacrifices, and of making efforts to atone for our sins and for the sins of the world so that God's justice may be appeased in this holy season. This goes back to the city of Nineveh. Remember, God told Jonah, tell the city of Nineveh that I'm going to destroy it in 3 days. When Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, the king and the people began to do penance. They took on sackcloth and ashes on their heads, and God held back his wrath. So we see this even has biblical references, how people's penances and sacrifices have held back the wrath of God. And so this season, the church has always seen as a very sacred time for us to hold back the wrath of God, asking his forgiveness for our sins by making voluntary penances and sacrifices and prayer. It's a very sacred time. And of course, Our Lady told us through the children Sacrifice yourself for sinners, she told the children. Sacrifice yourself for sinners. Say often, especially when you make a sacrifice, My Jesus, it is for love of thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So when we say, make a sacrifice, Our Lady taught the children to say, My Jesus, it is for love for thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Lady's heart is so filled with sorrow when so many turn against her son, and I am often just shocked with sometimes what I see on the internet, the terrible blasphemies against the Mother of God, the terrible assaults against our Holy Mother, and that this is a time for us also to show our love for Our Lady by praying the Holy Rosary and doing the first Saturday devotions, which Our Lady said would atone for the sins against blasphemy against her Immaculate Heart. The holy season of Lent is preparing us for Passion Week. And we see very clearly in that week Our Lady of Sorrows. We think that we have sufferings. No one has ever suffered like the Mother of God suffered on the day her son was crucified. We can only surmise what Our Lady's suffering like when Simeon said, and a sword shall pierce your heart. Not a pin, not a prick, a sword. When Our Lady was at the foot of the cross, it was like a sword going through her heart. So great was her anguish and suffering in seeing her son being crucified, rejected and mocked, and knowing that it was through this that humanity would be redeemed and saved. Our Lady united her sufferings to those of her son. Our Lady did not run away from the cross. She did not ask God to take away her sufferings, but she stood there in union with her son, united to him, and offered her sufferings in union with her son to the Eternal Father for the redemption of humanity. And this is something for us to remember, that suffering is not bad. God brings good out of suffering. And we see that in the redemption of humanity, the two people who are most innocent, who never sinned, suffered more than all of humanity put together, more than all the martyrs put together, was the sufferings of Jesus and Mary. And so let us console Jesus and Mary during this holy season of Lent in uniting our crosses, our small sufferings to theirs, who so with so great love bore these great sufferings for our redemption, for our salvation. And it's at the cross, of course, which Jesus said those words, which bring us great consolation and peace. Behold your mother. That before Jesus completed the work of redemption, before he finished that act which would make us children of the Father, before he did this, he made us children of his mother, wanting us to be truly her children, to be under her mantle, under her protection, so that with her maternal help, we could carry the cross. We could carry that cross with heroic love, with heroic courage, that when we're tempted, she would shield us and assist us to crush the head of the ancient serpent. And that when, as on Holy Saturday, when all left the cross and were filled with despair, that sole flame of hope which was flickering in the world was the faith of Our Lady. But when all seems dark around us, when all seems at an end, Our Lady gives us hope. She gives us courage with her Immaculate Heart, that heart which did not doubt God's promises, which did not doubt in his plan, but trusted completely and united herself in her heart to God's plan and brought about that great work which was our redemption, that Our Lady knew her son would rise from the dead. And in fact, she was the first one who saw him on Easter Sunday. After his mother bore so many sufferings, that our Lord surely consoled his mother by going to her first to console her, in that she would see him in all his glory and radiance and beauty in his resurrected, glorified body. And so let us, in this holy season, See the importance of atoning for sins. See the importance of carrying the cross and sharing the cross. And above all, see the importance of always staying near to Mary, because without her help, we will never prevail. Without her help, we will fall. Without her help, we will not succeed. Our Lady said, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the road that will lead you to God. I will never forsake you, but my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the road that will lead you to God." May we, in this great time of darkness in the world, see that Our Lady is calling us to turn to her Immaculate Heart, to seek refuge there, and to prepare ourselves for the great mysteries of Easter with her, Our Lady of Sorrows, she who bore so greatly the sufferings for love of us. May we in this time console Mary and Jesus by our voluntary penances and sacrifices to appease the justice of God in a world which has grown so wicked in its evil acts and rejection of God's commandments, in God's authority, and the authority of His Son, Jesus Christ. May Our Lady grant us the grace to always trust her and to, with great confidence, to bear the cross for love of Him and her, which suffered so much for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.